Gangrene Season 9. Just me and Stats here tonight. Kurt, that's Stats. Dave is, I don't know.
He's off on assignment. He's digging deep into this Danny Ainge thing. He's kind of got an obsession going. I went over to his house. There's newspaper articles on the wall with red lines, you know.
Dave
it's a real beautiful mind situation going on
it's
there.
It's too bad he's not here because I think it'd be colorful.
Yeah. I feel very bad for whoever ends up in his section tonight.
Yeah, seriously. Is that where he is at the old tap?
I believe.
Yeah. So, came and went, 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yep.
And what happened?
In like a butterfly, out like a butterfly.
Yep.
No lions involved.
I'm going to be honest with you right out of the gate. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I think we kind of mentioned before when we were talking, anytime you have a chance to or perceive a chance to get better and you don't, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
It's always hard to, you know, we don't know exactly what deals were there, what, you know, if someone like Atlanta with Al Horford or Houston with Dwight Howard was playing hardball about like a Brooklyn pick or something like that. I mean, we don't know. There's a ton that we don't know, but to see nothing happen is kind of, you know, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, I think I've said it here before, and we talked about it before the show, is there's been a lot of talk the last few weeks about how great this team is and how fun they are to watch, and they're working well together, and it's a good team. And I agree. I'm having fun watching this team, but I also feel like I want to improve incrementally as time passes. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting the huge change this time to make us a championship team, but I was hoping to get a little bit better now.
Yeah.
Make a stronger playoff run in the offseason, get a little bit better or much better.
Yeah. You kind of have to wonder when there's still a massive gap between where you are and where you need to be. Like, why wasn't anything done?
Right.
I mean, it was different when you had Rajon Rondo and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and they didn't do much at the trade deadline. You're kind of like, well, that's fine. We're competing. We're a title contender. When you're not a title contender, and I think, you know, as optimistic as we are about the team, I think we all agree that they're not in, you know, at least the Warriors or the Spurs category, let alone the teams below them. You know, you're kind of disappointed when an opportunity may have come by that where, you know, either don't pull the trigger or you're hesitant or what have you. So.
Yeah, and maybe teams were asking for a ransom. I mean, you mentioned it before. Doc traded for Jeff Green again.
Former Celtic, Jeff Green.
Former Celtic. I loved him, man. He was my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave up Lance Stephenson in a first rounder, which seems steep for Jeff Green.
For sure.
As I love Jeff Green, that seems
I think
steep.
The first rounder is like, you know, going to be a couple of years away because Doc's already given away a bunch of them. But
I
it's
mean,
like,
still.
It, you know, you see, you know, Montahunas from Houston go for not much. You see Tobias Harris move for not much. But then you see guys like Jeff Green going for like a decent player, maybe a locker room headache.
Yeah, maybe that's just Doc then.
Maybe. I mean, it only takes one guy to, like, pay a guy max. It only takes one guy to pull a stupid trade or something like that.
Why
so.
Not? We could have sent him Avery Bradley, you know?
For Lance Stephenson or Blake Griffin. I mean, you know, I think we all know that Danny was active, right? I mean, he always is. I think they were... You know, there's still a lot of teams that are in the playoff hunt that haven't been for a while, and that always kind of messes things up, right?
Yeah.
You know, teams that are clear sellers like Philadelphia and the Lakers don't really have anyone to move, or, you know, Brooklyn, if they're not going to move Brook Lopez, you know, I guess they can move Thad Young, which they might have done. But
no, they didn't.
No, they didn't. So,
well, because that organization is so awesome, they hired a general manager at like noontime today.
Yeah, so you got a couple hours to get things together. And
he put out a statement saying he wasn't going to move anyone because he wanted time to assess
probably a good
them.
Move. Yeah, probably you know? A good move.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you had, it seemed like from what I read on Twitter that a lot of teams were kind of waiting to see what Atlanta was going to do, if they were going to move Teague, if they were going to move Horford. You know, the Rockets are always looking to trade, so you know that Dwight Howard was probably offered around, but, you know, whether anyone wanted to take him on if you're going to eventually lose him, it's kind of a, yeah, it's a lot to ask. Especially with the cap maybe going up, it made for a really strange trade deadline. I think the new CBAs kind of toned down the trade deadline just with, you know, what you can do. And, you know, it just really makes no sense for a guy that's like Al Horford that's going to be a free agent to not go to free agency.
Right.
Like, if he signs an extension today, he makes less money than if he waits until a certain date. Like, that's not, you know,
and
I don't know if that's what they intended.
On that same note is, I would have loved Al Horford here, but I also don't want Danny to give up like three of the guys and two of the picks to get it done.
Yeah, especially when you might lose him.
Right, right. I was hoping to get him on, say, the David Lee and, I don't know, Sellinger, Olnick, one of the other. You know, like one of these, like, and then anything about the Brooklyn, you know, like one of these things. But I don't know. I feel like the Celtics are at this point where they, like, worked hard all their life and they got rich. And now they're retired, and they spent their whole life not spending money.
Yeah.
So they're just, like, still not spending. Like, they have, oh, look at all this. It's like Scrooge McDuck. Like, Danny's, like, swimming in his draft picks and his young players, you know? Like, spend it. Go buy a Porsche.
Yeah. Or some, you know, three little ducklings are going to come in and just steal everything you got.
I know, yeah.
But, you know, I think the other thing that makes it interesting for the Celtics in particular is they have more draft picks than they have roster spots by a couple.
Yeah.
So there has to be something, right?
And they still have like four. They get like 18 kids in Maine, I think.
Yeah, they got a full team there. Seems like anyway.
And kids at the end of the bench, and more draft picks next year. I just don't, like, something has to give.
Yeah, exactly. There has to be some move, whether it's to push the draft picks down the line further or something. You know, you have to wonder what they're going to do with guys coming up. Like, it's hard to see them really having space to re-sign Evan Turner. So I guess keeping Evan Turner is more valuable than whatever you could have got for him, which I guess I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with, like, Jared Sellinger. I guess, you know, you need to make a decision on if you're going to, you know, he's a restricted free agent. Are you going to match? Are you going to what?
I would have unloaded one of those guys.
Yeah,
because isn't Kelly, well, Kelly went on and hurt himself right before the trade deadline.
He was a year after Sellinger, so I think he's got another year
okay.
going.
Okay.
But, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, change this summer, I think. More than we really anticipated.
There has to be.
Especially since there wasn't a lot now. I mean, I think there's a really good chance David Lee's going to get bought out. I think that's almost a certainty. He's not getting minutes here, and he thinks he can be a contributor for a playoff team. So,
does he end up back in Golden State?
Probably not.
No. Okay.
I don't think they really have room for him, honestly. Right. I don't really know what he's looking for, honestly. I think this is his best situation. I mean, I guess I could see him, like,
Toronto.
Down in, like, maybe Toronto, maybe down in, like, Orlando, a team that's kind of, like, pushing for the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something like that. But it's going to be a weird summer here, I think. Danny has a lot to do. He's got a lot of assets, like you said. He's got to either cash in or move or something.
Yeah, I thought today was going to be that day where we all open our eyes about Terry Rozier and be like, ah, he was worth something. That's what you drafted him for.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been nice to, you know, to kind of clear that end of the bench, like, past, you know, that David Lee, James Young, like, past the 10th guy, past Jonas Jerebko, like, whatever's down there, whether it's Mickey or whatever, or, you know, at least move someone so those guys can move up a couple spots to get more minutes, but... You know, with the way they've been playing, you kind of can't blame them for not doing too much.
No, I mean, I do like how they're playing. I don't want to be – I'm always the negative guy. I just wanted a little bit improvement, you know. Kevin Love would have been a great fit. Mm-hmm. That's what I was starting to get excited about. because it wasn't a free agent.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I imagine him and Doc, yeah, and Doc Rivers. I imagine him in Brad Stevens' system. I think he would do okay in it.
Yeah. The rumor with the Knicks with Carmelo Anthony going to Cleveland.
I would have loved that.
That was bananas. I don't know who came up with that, yeah. But that is just – I just don't see how that works
how
at
awesome
all.
How awesome would it to be watch Carmelo, Kyrie, and
like,
LeBron?
Carmelo is the last thing Cleveland needs.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need another guy that's a ball stopper.
And I forgot about – what's his name? The Decepticon there. Who all played with Anthony in New York. What the hell's his name?
J.R. Smith?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
The four of them together would have been a hoot.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been awesome.
You don't even – you just have to have the other guy stand under the basket to try to rebound. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. It would be Tristan Thompson, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, it would have – you know, it would have been interesting. Amazing. It would have been interesting to get Kevin Love. I think, like you said before we started recording, I don't think it's the last we're going to hear that name connected with this Celtics
team.
I have,
my gut feeling is he comes around this summer.
Yeah, I think, I think I said before, if Cleveland wins, he's not going anywhere.
Right.
But it's hard to see them beating the Spurs or the Warriors right now.
My gut says they make a move for him and then try to get someone else via free agency.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know who's a free agent or whatnot, but careful over there. So, I don't know. That's my gut feeling.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – interesting. We'll see what they do. I think that's probably one way they do it. But, you know, like I said, they have such a logjam. It's hard to see even – you'd have to give up like three or four guys for Kevin Love to kind of clear space to even sign a free agent.
Yeah, and I don't think I want to draft any more kids.
Well, you got to use this Brooklyn. This Brooklyn pick is your best shot. Right? I mean, it's –
to trade or to use?
I don't know. To do something with.
Right, right. Like
if you're gonna hang on to a kid, let it be this Brooklyn pick and Marcus Smart, right?
Yeah, the number six and number.
Hopefully,
it's
better
be eight,
than that.
You know,
yeah, like. Probably end up being low like that. But I mean, Brooklyn's. I mean, we're not gonna do a Brooklyn report because Dave's not here tonight. But I think they're like third or fourth worst in the league.
Yeah,
something
and then
like that.
I
so.
Think Phoenix is trying to catch them.
Yep, they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Doing a pretty good job down there.
Well, why don't we take a break? We can come back and talk about this again a little bit later, but right after the break, we have a Reds Army dude coming on,
nice.
Mr. Ben Mark. So
great.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to him and then discuss some of this stuff more. Some of this stuff more. Yeah, I'm good job, Kurt. Anyways, we'll take a break, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes. All right, we're back, and we have a fellow Reds Army person, guy, dude, writer. He probably does more work than we do.
Oh, definitely.
It's Ben Mark from Reds Army. You're with Kurt and Stats, Ben. What's going on?
Thanks for having me, guys. Was maybe looking forward to talking about something bigger than the crickets we had in Celtics on trade deadline day, but maybe for the better.
Yeah, I'm in the same position. We just talked a little bit about that. So what are your overall feelings on how the day went?
Kind of how I expected, actually. Not too upset with Danny Ainge's decision to stand pat. I think any move that was made today was not a move that was going to push this team into finals consideration, right, in the Eastern Conference. You look back on the history of trade deadline day for the Celtics anyway, it's not like any of these moves that have ever happened have been earth-shattering. Those don't happen all the time on trade deadline day. They usually happen over the summer anyway. So now we get a chance to just see what this team can do. It's been a fun ride, especially lately. And we just get to watch that Brooklyn pick, hopefully, you know, come in as a top three pick. There's really, you really can't lose after today.
Yeah, I sort of agree. I have been enjoying watching the team. Don't get me wrong. I kind of wanted to make incremental improvement. You know, I knew it was going to put us over the top, but it's always good to see improvement along the way. But in the long run, I'll just hunker down and have fun watching the team. Hopefully they do something, you know?
I guess they've improved without doing anything, which was beyond what I thought was possible this year. I thought maybe they'd sort of tread water from what we saw last year, but, you know, the improvement's happening, and they didn't make a move, which is pretty great.
Ben, was there a rumored move, whether it was Dwight Howard or anyone that was really rumored that you felt like would have been a good fit, something that you maybe wish that would have gone through for the Celtics?
Yeah, I guess there's some strings attached to it. The Al Horford thing would have been cool if, you know, going into the offseason, then you were able to sign Horford under the max amount that he might want, maybe a little less than a max deal for a 30-year-old, and then there was some sort of, you know, like wink-wink agreement that somebody else would join him, a la Garnett when Ray Allen came on in the trade in 2007. That would have been really the only way I would have been thrilled with a pick. So obviously some strings attached to it. Otherwise, like I said, you know, the Howard thing sort of made me a little queasy. If they didn't have to give up a lot for like a Thaddeus Young, that might have been cool to see how that might help them in second round or an Eastern Conference Finals round. But otherwise, I mean, nothing got me too excited.
Yeah, it was really, of all the players moved, I think when you're looking at the best one being like Lance Stephenson or Jeff Green, it was really disappointing. So just to kind of go back to like the rumors, if it ended up being like Blake Griffin or Kevin Love or something like that, I feel like they would have had to give up too much. So I was kind of okay with them staying pat.
Ben, what do you think the plan is over the summer? Is there a specific target, or is it just I was talking earlier, I feel like the Celtics are like the rich guy that doesn't want to spend any of their money. They have all this money and they just don't know what to do with it, or they can't spend it. And I don't know, what do you think their plan should be, or what do you think they're going to do?
It feels like something. It has to happen this summer. I don't know where these guys can go unless you just start stashing draft picks and having them play in Europe for years on end. It has to happen this summer. Who it could be, I mean, it really depends if Cousins' name comes up again. It seems like Cousins and Love over the last year, maybe year and a half even, have been the names that have come up ever since the Celtics have acquired all these picks and all these players. I'm sure Kevin Love's name will come up again. I think it really depends on what happens with Cleveland this year, whether Love plays a big role in either doing something really well for Cleveland or Cleveland getting bounced early. Wouldn't be surprised if his name comes up again. And then there might even be somebody we're not even considering. I think a lot of it also hinges on where that Brooklyn pick comes in. If it's a top two, top three pick, does Danny Ainge try to package that to get a clear-cut, bona fide superstar, knowing that that pick could yield, you know, a really good player in this year's draft? It's exciting. I think it has to happen this summer. If it doesn't happen this summer, I have no idea how you have enough spots to put these guys on the roster.
Yeah, maybe Portsmouth can get a D-League team.
Yeah, they'll be a dynasty up there.
Yeah, seriously. Did you watch any of the All-Star game?
I did. It was fun.
Yeah.
That West team is really good, and I think they're going to be really good for at least a couple more years to come, depending on where Durant goes.
Yeah, did you see any of the Isaiah in the skills competition or the dunk contest or anything like that?
Yeah, I was, surprised that Isaiah lost that finals to Karl Anthony Towns. I thought that one was about as sure a thing as you could have asked for. I just think it was really cool to see him in the All-Star game. I mean, my expectations weren't that high in terms of what he'd be able to do coming off the bench for an East team that, you know, probably wasn't going to be using him more than, I don't remember how many minutes he got, like 15, 20 minutes that he did get. Just cool to see a Celtic in there, especially one who wanted it so badly. You could tell how much it meant to him, and I think it was just really neat to see him there repping the green and white.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the better ones, you know, in a while at least.
It was fun to see Isaiah there. It was good to have Celtics representation again. I do want to get back to, like, the real basketball. What do you think – so the trade deadline is coming gone. I'm a little disappointed about it. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what my feelings are, really, I guess. But what are your predictions? Where does this team, now that we know what they look like for the rest of the year, how do you see them finishing the year?
I'm thinking and hoping that they finish in the top half of the East, whether it's a 3 or 4 seed. I don't know if they're catching Toronto. Obviously not catching Cleveland. We'll really hinge on sort of what some of the other teams do. I don't know if they'll be as hot as they've been recently. What is it, like 9 out of their last 10? you know, they've got this Western Conference road trip, which actually served as sort of the turning point last year. I think it was a game in Portland and a game in Denver that really galvanized the team. They're already on a roll. Hopefully they're just really excited to still be intact, and they can keep building on what they did before the All-Star break. I expect them to be in the three spot or the four spot and hosting a playoff series come late April.
Are you disappointed if they lose in the first round again?
I think actually it would be a disappointment. If you asked me that before the season, I would have said, hey, if they can just get back to where they get, show some improvement, you know, they don't need to tank, obviously, because of the Brooklyn pick coming their way. That would have been enough for me. I think it would be a mild disappointment, especially if they are a home playoff team, if they draw, you know, a Chicago who's banged up, even if they get a Jimmy Butler back. If they draw this maybe newly improved Detroit team and they can't beat them in the first round, I think it would be a mild disappointment if they didn't get out of there.
Yeah, I think I'd be bummed out.
Yeah, they've had problems with Detroit all year, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Well, listen, Ben, it was great to meet you, you know, in air quotes. Thanks for coming on. We'll have to do it again.
Definitely, guys. Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, thank you. You as well. And we will certainly talk soon. All right, and we're back. We got into Ben a little bit about predictions for the rest of the year. So, Mr. Statsman, smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
What is this team going to do?
I think they're definitely going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to get in the top four. I think that would be nice, but I don't know. I can see a lot of things kind of derailing that. Kelly Olynyk's hurt right now. They have a West Coast road trip coming up. There's just a lot of things I can see kind of getting in the way of that. And then, you know, in the playoffs, I think it's very matchup dependent. I can see them definitely going out in the first round. And, you know, I think no matter what, you know, whether I'm going to be – you know, what my expectations were. My expectations were to really see progress, I guess. And I think we've definitely seen that so far.
Yeah.
So I'm happy so far. I don't have any delusions that this team is a title contender. I think you have to just get that out of your mind, because if you watch the Warriors and the Spurs play, it's like they're playing a different game.
No, because, I mean, it comes back to besides the Spurs and the Warriors, like, that's just stupid. But your best player is Crowder or Isaiah, like,
yeah,
you know, pick one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are your two best players, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, if this was 2008, 2009, 2010, you would look at those guys and be like, those dudes would be awesome supporting
Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
Right.
Exactly. So it's, you know, the way the league is constructed right now, it's just hard to see, you know, it's hard not to get kind of discouraged by where the Celtics are and where they need to be a contender. And I, you know, I think we forget that it can happen overnight. I mean, the next thing you know, I remember exactly where I was when I read that they were going to get Kevin Garnett, and it, you know, it can happen all of a sudden. So
it was a rainy morning, and I was going to pick up my dry cleaning before I went to work.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it could it, you know, it things change fast in this league, I think. You know, faster than people realize.
Yeah.
Or it seems at the time. I think, you know, you look back and the Cavaliers, you know, a couple of years ago, they drafted like 3 first overall picks out of the last like 4 or something like that, and they get LeBron James to come back and their whole trajectory's changed. It really only takes like 1 or 2 things to kind of change a team. It's just hard when you watch 82 games a year, like I think most of us do, and you know, you don't see enough progress, or you see the difference between you and the Cavs or you and the Warriors or whatever. But you know, there has been some progress this year, so I think you have to be happy. It's just, you know, you just have to hope that they can hold on to Brad Stevens. You have to hope that they can, some of these young guys get better, and, you know, whatever deal materializes and it works out too. Because, you know, you can trade for Kevin Love, but if he's, you know, injury prone like he might be, you know.
Right.
Might end up backfiring on you.
Yeah. I think Crowder's made a lot of progress, a lot more than I thought he would. So I'm really happy about that.
That's true. And Isaiah's looked good.
Isaiah's looked really good for a whole year. Again, in the playoffs, that's going to change. Because I, you know, I was so up on Isaiah last year, and then that Cleveland series happened, and it just, I was like, yep. Oh yeah. So I just, I don't know. I my prediction is the same as everyone else's. They're going to, I mean, listen, you're right. They may not be in the top half of the East because they're in the third spot by one game?
Yeah, a lot can change.
And this is such a streaky team, I feel like. I feel like when they're hitting, and then when they're not, they're not. It's like,
yep. And they have, you know, they definitely have trouble closing some games, you know, as good
they
as
are, and you know, that's where I've seen progress. That Cleveland game.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you can say, you know, Kevin Love was hurt and everything, but again, they're closing out games, and the one that they lost that week, they push it to overtime, and I loved that Crowder hit those two free throws at the end of the game.
Yeah, no,
that to me, that even though they lost that game, him hitting those two free throws to go into overtime, I mean, my brain's going way back now because we haven't seen each other in a while, but that was a big moment for me.
Yeah.
Because that was free throws in a crunch time situation, and he nailed them.
Yeah.
So there has been progress. I just – you're right. In the grand scheme of things, it's not good enough.
Yeah. It's – you know, there has been progress. It's been fun, right? That's the thing that's different than a couple years ago.
And let's step
back.
The
Jeff Green and that year, that wasn't fun to watch.
No, that was awful. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun to talk about. It wasn't fun to watch. It was miserable.
Yeah, exactly.
At least this – like, and I know I said I don't care if they lose as long as it's fun to watch. And I'm – you know, I'm a hypocrite because I'm sitting here saying I'm disappointed they didn't do anything. Because in the grand scheme of things – they're a likable team, they're fun to watch, and they're improving.
Yeah.
So,
it's, you feel bad because you wear, I think we're kind of coming from the same place where you wear two hats where you're like, you know, I have fun watching this team, I like this team and all that stuff, but man, I wish we had Steph Curry and, you know, like, you just, because those guys are so good. They're just so good. It's so fun to watch the Warriors play. It's like they're playing a different game. And, you know, it's really hard to see the path to that when you're in the middle of the forest like we are right now, in the middle of the pack. But we'll, you know,
it's called luck.
Hopefully we'll get there. That's part of it. But, you know, I mean, Steph Curry wasn't drafted high.
Right.
You know, he's a top 10 pick, but not.
No, but Paul Pierce wasn't. And that's what I'm saying. Like, so, we're concerned about this top number three pick, but Paul Pierce was a 10, and, you know.
I mean, the Bulls have been good forever. They had, you know, Derrick Rose, but they drafted Taj Gibson late. They drafted Noah late. They drafted Jimmy Butler super late. You know, there's guys that get drafted late. It's all about kind of your development process and identifying those talents. It's about having more Jared Sullingers than Fab Mellos, basically.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well put.
Let's hope for more.
More Terry Rozier's.
Yeah, let's hope for maybe not that.
Yeah, we'll keep Danny off the hot seat today because I know next time we meet and Dave's back. And stuff,
yeah, he needs a break, I think, while Dave is out. So it's probably a good idea.
So
give him some rest.
Anything else you want to talk about, dude?
Yeah, not really. I mean, watch some college basketball if you have some time. It's an interesting year.
Yeah,
for sure.
Simmons kid can't shoot.
Nope, can't shoot. Okay. Simmons can't shoot. Ingram looks like a stick figure.
Okay.
I haven't seen Dragon Bender. I was going to say, I didn't want to bring this up when Ben was on, but when he started talking about the Euro stash stuff, I was like, oh God, they're going to draft this Dragon Bender kid in the top five, and he's not going to come over this year, and they're going to delay this thing for another year, and I almost lost it there for a second.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, watch some college basketball. It's a very interesting year.
Yeah, they're going to draft Chris Dunn.
Yeah,
have another undersized guard.
Well, like him and the kid for Oklahoma, Buddy Hield, they're both like super old. You know what I mean? It's like it's a weird year. It's definitely like last year. I don't know why, but I was a lot more. I think it was like something to do with like the under 18 team or something, and seeing Okafor play for them. But I was a lot more in on like Okafor, and this season is just really kind of up and down. I think a lot of guys like Ben Simmons went to weird schools. And I say that because, you know, there's like two top 10 freshmen at Cal who plays on the West Coast in the Pac-10 who usually aren't on TV unless you like are weird like me and watch college basketball at 6 on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like seeing these guys has been more difficult. LSU isn't good, so seeing Ben Simmons has been like, you know, they still get on TV because they have Ben Simmons, but the rest of the team kind of stinks.
Yeah, I heard they might not even make the tournament.
No, they're probably not. They're like, they're projected to be out of it right now.
That's crazy.
I know. And, you know, this kid might still go. You know, I mean, Kevin Durant's team was kind of like that. I mean, Texas didn't really have much else. You know, it's a weird year for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about this again.
I know. And you know what? Just real quick, my least favorite thing about this class is I think every time I watch Kentucky, I get more enamored with Jamal Murray, who is exactly what the Celtics do not need. He is just a pure point guard, you know, like just a great passer and a great, you know, he reminds me a little bit of like a cross between like kind of a little bit like Damian Lillard or like, you know, Russell Westbrook without a jump shot, you know, just really good at like getting to the lane and creating and stuff like that, but like can't shoot yet. And that is, God, if they draft
him.
That's
Danny's
guy.
That's Danny's guy.
I know. I know it's going to happen now that I said it, but God.
He loves guards that can't shoot.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, Jamal Murray. He's good, too. Like, he's a good one. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's a really good passer. I really like him defensively. He's like, he's Marcus Smart with a little more polish on the offensive end.
Yeah.
Yeah. No jump shot either, but.
Definitely Danny's guy.
Yeah, well,
you
see.
Said that's it. That's what's going to happen.
You're probably right. That's
and
exactly
we're
going to
be talking
happen.
About a mediocre team for the next 15 years.
Dave's going to blow his brains out all over the
perfect.
Set here.
All right. On that note, we're going to take our final break. It's called the end of the show. And follow us on Twitter. Twitter.
That's not how that's wrote.
No, I know. I'm
we need to go today.
I know. Twitter, Instagram, Game Green TV, watch us on Red's Army. That's where our guest is from by Mark. And yeah, that's it. We're gonna
have a great day, everyone.
Yeah. All right. Stay infected. Peace.